Hello and welcome to Hot Girls Code, a podcast all about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech. I'm your host, Aughty.
And I'm your host, Lola. Today, we are going to talk about something that is incredibly important in the process of software development, and that is testing. In most software companies, there's a role called a test analyst, also known as a tester or a QA, which stands for quality assurance. And this role focuses on making sure that the software being built is good quality software that isn't going to break as soon as it's in the hands of customers.
You might be thinking, well, I'm a developer or I want to be a developer. Do I need to know about testing? And the answer is absolutely yes. There are a lot of different types of testing out there, and as devs, there are some kinds of testings that we're responsible for, not just the testers in our teams.
And not only that, at least for us, we work super closely with the testers in our teams, and we even get to test low-risk work ourselves. It's really valuable as a developer to understand what testing actually is and how it all works, so you can make sure that you're using those good testing practices in the work that you do.
And also, in some companies, there's no such thing as a separate tester role, and developers need to be able to test their own work and make sure they keep up those good, high-quality standards.
So yeah, if you're interested in or already work in software, it's definitely valuable to understand the basics of testing. And that is what we are here to give you today.
We'll be chatting through what exactly testing is, why it's important, and then we'll be chatting through different types of testing, such as manual testing, automation testing, functional testing, and non-functional testing. We are going to be covering a lot of different types of testing today, but don't let all those different types overwhelm you. You won't ever be expected to know all the different names and definitions off by heart, but it's handy to have heard of them before and just kind of be aware that they exist, that they're a thing, you know?
Yeah, don't worry, we're not going to be giving you a test at the end of the episode to make sure you know all these different types of testing, but we are going to give you a wee overview. However, before we get into that, let's protect ourselves from getting overwhelmed with some good vibes and by expressing some gratitude. So, Aughty, what are you feeling grateful for this week?
Look, I am aware I've probably expressed gratitude about Taylor Swift a fair few times now. I think this season alone, I've done it at least once before that I can remember. But I did recently attend the Eras Tour. But I'm not going to be grateful for the Eras Tour, even though I could be, and it was the best, you know, one of the best nights of my life. Instead, what I am grateful for is fellow Swifties at the Eras Tour. So my friends and I got really excited by one of the like surprise songs that she was playing, and we were like screaming and dancing and just having a good time, living in the moment. And at the end of the song, we like have a tap on my shoulder, and the girl sitting behind us goes, "Hi, do you have a phone? I can airdrop you to a video to you. I took a video of you and your friends dancing because you looked so cute." And this video is literally one of the most like precious things I have in my life now. And it was just so sweet. Like, we had no idea she was doing that. She didn't have to at all, but she just recorded this like core memory of us just dancing and having like the best time of our life, and then like made sure we got a copy afterwards. And it just, I'm so grateful for like people doing that. And I've heard a few people say that similar things have happened to them at the Taylor Swift concert, where someone's been like just done like really nice things. And I'm just really grateful for Swifties and just like good people out there.
I have seen the video and I can confirm that it is absolutely adorable. But it's also so funny because I feel like that's the kind of story that you'll tell and people will be like, "Oh, that sounds fake. Like, there's no way someone just thought you were so cute they recorded you." But I actually had the same thing happen to me at a festival once. I was with my partner and we were like dancing to the festival and like we're all smiley and it's all good vibes. And then this girl just comes up behind me and does the exact same thing. And she's like, "Oh, I took a video of you guys. Can I airdrop it to you?" So we swear this does happen.
It's so cute. I love it. Maybe, yeah, it's such a good trend. I love it so much. And what are you grateful for today, Lola?
I am feeling really grateful for the gym and working out and having a bit of a gym routine. So I haven't always been the best at going to the gym. And obviously, as we all know, physical activity is super important. And I have made it a goal for 2024 to try and be consistent and make sure that I get that physical activity, because I find personally that it really helps with my mental health. So this week, I'm just feeling really grateful to have the opportunity to take that time out for myself and work out my body and just get all those good dopamine and endorphins flowing.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I had such like a game-changing experience a few years ago when I like started thinking about like physical exercise as being something for my mental health rather than like feeling like it was something I had to do for other reasons. And it's so true what you say. Like, when I find that consistently like moving my body, it doesn't have to be going to the gym. It could even be just like going for walks or doing stretches and stuff. Like, it makes such a difference to my mental health. So yeah, good on you for making that a priority and actually trying to like get that consistency, because it's going to make such a difference to your like mental well-being if you have those channels to get out any bad energy and just like get that good vibes inside of you.
Thank you. And I've been reading this book lately called Stronger, and it is all about women's strength, and it is such a game changer in terms of kind of the way you view physical activity. And I had kind of this part in the book where it was like, just have a think about like, if you weren't working out to look good or to lose weight or, you know, any of those classic reasons that women get told, this is why you need to work out. If you're just doing it for yourself and for your enjoyment, what would you do? And I thought that was a really cool way of looking at it, because it's like, actually, you know what? I just feel like doing a little dance today. So I'm just going to like have a little dance in my room. And, you know, it doesn't have to be super formalized physical activity, but it is so nice just to move your body.
Totally agree. I love lockdown. I did so many dance workouts. Those are so good. Now that we are feeling zen and grateful, let's jump into today's episode, starting with talking about what exactly testing is.
Software testing is the process of assessing a piece of software and basically finding errors. It's about checking that the real outcomes you get match with what you expect to happen, and also identifying any defects or missing requirements that aren't being met. You're basically trying to just throw stuff at the code to see what breaks it. This is how we find bugs in the code. And if you haven't heard the term bug before, it's basically just an error or a defect in the code. So something's gone wrong.
Testing involves examining, analyzing, observing, and evaluating different parts of what you've built and making sure that all of it is up to scratch. So different teams do test at different points in the software development process. Some teams build small pieces of functionality and test them as they go. Other teams might save all their testing until the end, and it'll be the last thing they do before they deploy those code changes. So it's whatever works for different teams.
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways to test software and also different approaches to testing. So we'll be exploring these a lot more shortly. But first, let's take a moment to chat about why testing is even important to begin with.
Some developers may not think that testing is that important because obviously as devs, we always write perfect code the first time round.
Yeah, 100%. I have never had a bug in my code. My code is just so perfect. But no, unfortunately, that was some heavy sarcasm, and perfect code the first time round is just not what happens a lot of the time. And I cannot tell you how many times I've thought that my code was good to go. You know, I did some dev testing. I was like, cool, it's perfect. Everything's fine. And then the test analyst in my team has done a much more thorough test than I have. And they've found issues that I had never come across before, or they've tested in ways that I hadn't even thought about.
That's right. Testing is a super important part of the software development lifecycle because it's when we find those issues and bugs. And it means we can find them early on because, gonna be honest, it's not really fun finding bugs in code that you've already deployed and then having to take that code and roll it back, fix the issue, retest it, and then deploy it all over again. That, you don't want to do that.
Honestly, it can be the most soul-crushing experience because you're like, oh, awesome, I finally got this thing out in production, and then someone finds a bug and everything is on fire. But luckily, when we test thoroughly before code goes out, whether that be through manual testing or unit tests or automation tests, which are all terms that we'll be explaining very soon, When we do that, we uncover those issues early on and we can improve the quality of our software.
High quality software and less bugs means customers are going to be a lot happier. And not only is it important because of customer satisfaction, testing software also helps to ensure reliability, security, and high performance. Not to mention the time and money it saves, because it can be pretty costly if you have to track down and fix bugs after the features have been released.
But if you still aren't convinced that testing is important, we're going to chat through a wee example of when a bug in software code cost millions of dollars. So back in 1998, NASA launched the Mars Climate Orbiter to study the climate and atmosphere on Mars. But the Mars Climate Orbiter never got to finish its mission. Instead, it burnt up after getting too close to the surface of Mars. And what caused that failure? An embarrassingly simple mistake in converting imperial units to metric units on a single piece of ground software. And that failed mission was estimated to cost over $550 million when adjusted for inflation in 2022. So hopefully that wee example shows you just how important thorough testing is.
Now that we know about the Mars Climate Orbiter and we understand how important testing is, let's dive into talking about some different kinds of testing. As we said earlier, there are a lot of different ways and approaches to testing software. It isn't just one single thing.
Now, there are a few different ways to categorize these different testing approaches, and we're going to be exploring a few of these today. Firstly, we're going to be chatting through manual versus automated testing, which is kind of about how the testing gets carried out. And then we'll talk about functional versus non-functional testing, which is about whether or not the tests validate business requirements for an application.
So let's dive into the first type of testing we're going to talk about today, and that is manual testing. So as the name suggests, this is all about testing software manually, i.e. without using an automation tool or any scripts. In manual testing, you as a tester act like a user and you use the software just like a user would. And during this process, you try to identify any unexpected behavior and find any pesky bugs that are lurking.
Often when you're carrying out manual testing, you'll use a few different documents to help make sure that you're covering all the areas that you want to test.
One of these documents is a test plan, which is like a roadmap that outlines what needs to be tested, how it will be tested, and what you expect the outcomes to be from the testing you're doing. So, for example, let's say it's back in 1998 and you are writing a test plan for the ground software for the Mars Climate Orbiter. You would probably want your test plan to include checking that unit conversion works as expected.
And alongside test plans, another thing you'll hear about are test cases. A test case is a bit like a recipe, and it includes step-by-step instructions for testing a specific feature. So a test case also includes things like inputs, expected outcomes, and any other relevant information for the test. So let's chat through a wee example. If you're writing a test case for a login screen, when a valid email and password are entered, the steps might be step one, enter email. Step two, enter password. Step three, click login. So your inputs for the test case might be hotgirlsthatcode@gmail.com and a super secret secure password like I love cats and dogs 123, with some uppercase in there, of course.
You know, my friends do often come up to me saying, Audie, you'll be proud of me. I've gone through and like changed my passwords so that they're different across different accounts. So that's the friend I am. I'm the friend that tells people to make sure they have secure passwords.
I love that. I mean, everyone needs that friend, let's be honest. But back to our test case, with those valid inputs being the email and the password, the expected outcome would be for the login screen to successfully log you in. So that is an example of one test case, and typically you would have lots of test cases that represent each unique situation. Like another test case might be if the email and password are not valid and therefore you're not able to log in.
And that brings us to our last type of document you might have during manual testing, and that is a test scenario. So compared to test cases, test scenarios are a bit more of a higher level thing, and they give you a higher level idea of what to test. So if we go back to our previous login example, the test scenario would be test the login functionality. But then the individual test cases are the things that Lola mentioned, like check the outcome when a valid email and password are entered, or check the outcome when an invalid email and password are entered. So test scenarios provide context for us to understand which specific test cases are needed, and one test scenario can have multiple test cases related to it.
So those are three documents you might use while testing. And to summarize, test scenarios provide the context for groups of related test cases. Test cases are like the individual steps used to test specific features. And a test plan guides the overall testing process. Now, before we move on from manual testing, we wanted to quickly mention an important part of manual testing, and that is exploratory testing. This one is really fun, and it's where you ignore all those documents we just spoke about, you throw caution to the wind, and just play around with the software to try and find any random bugs or issues.
It's actually one of the funniest things when, like, your tester comes up to you and they're just like, hey, I found this weird issue. And then they're like, I did this, this, and this, and it broke. And you're like, what? Why would you think to do all those things? And they're just like, exploratory testing. And you're just like, but will people actually do that? And they're like, I think they would because of da-da-da-da-da. And you're like, yeah, no, our customers would do that. Oh, okay, no, I do have to fix this problem. And it'll just be the randomest, most niche thing.
That's the thing, eh? Like, users will just do the strangest combination of things. Like, they'll click a button, then they'll exit out, and they'll double click, and then they'll open a new modal. And then testers, when they're doing exploratory testing, they basically get to just have a really good time, act like a doofus, do the weirdest things, and then you find these really niche bugs, and then you have to fix them.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's the wild, wild west, and it's pretty entertaining. So now that we understand what manual testing is, let's move on to chatting about our second type of testing, and that is automation testing. So this is when you write scripts and use automation software to test the software product that you're making. There are a lot of different automation frameworks and tools out there to help you automate those manual testing steps that you might do. And the great thing about this is it means it's really easy to run those tests over and over again.
Like, maybe you need to make sure that you always have a certain field in your API response. Rather than always having to hit that API and check the response whenever something changes to make sure nothing breaks, you could have an automation script that you can quickly run, and it just checks that that field is still there. And it does it all automatically.
That is definitely so handy to have. I am going to quickly jump in. And if you don't know what an API is, or you've heard of it and you kind of wondered what it is, API just stands for Application Programming Interface. And it may sound really vague and complicated, but basically it's just a set of rules to enable communication. And you can think of it like a menu at a restaurant. So just like a menu allows you to communicate what you want to order to the waiter at the restaurant, different software applications use APIs to communicate and interact with each other about what they want.
Yep, so that is what an API is. Jumping back to automation testing, as you can tell, automation testing is super helpful to rerun test scenarios quickly and repeatedly. You can also use automation testing to carry out things like load testing, performance testing, and stress testing. We know that this is probably a lot of new terms, but don't worry, we will be going over what load testing, performance testing, and stress testing mean very soon.
So yeah, automation testing, it's pretty neat. And it gives us a lot of test coverage without needing to spend extra time and effort, you know, every single time you test. And because you have an automated computer checking things, another great thing about it is it also helps to reduce human error.
But one thing a lot of people ask about is, if we have these cool automation tests, do we really need manual testing too? Can't we just automate everything? Well, the answer is a solid heck no.
First of all, to write the initial test scripts, we need manual testing to actually write a comprehensive and accurate test script so that the automation can carry it out.
And like any automation process, we do need humans to supervise and step in when the computer inevitably has issues or it takes things a little bit too literally. Also, there are things that automation testing just cannot account for. Like, think about the exploratory testing we spoke about before. Human testers are able to think, a user might see this on the page and they might try to click this and do this. And testers can get really creative with their testing. Whereas automation tests just do exactly what they're told. This means automation tests don't account for all of those different scenarios. Automation simply makes the testing process easier and gives manual testing the space to focus on more niche edge cases. So your best bet is to use a combination of both.
So that is enough about manual and automation testing, and let's move on to another kind of testing, and that is functional testing. So just a word of warning before we dive into this part, both this section on functional testing and then the next one about non-functional testing, it's going to hit with a lot of different words and a lot of different explanations as we go through different ways of testing and give a brief explanation of each. But don't worry, we promise that we are here with you. We are going to be demystifying each jargon term one at a time. And of course, there isn't a test at the end. You don't need to know each and every one of these off by heart. We're just trying to, you know, put some familiarity in there so that when you hear this out in the wild, you'll be like, I've heard of this before and have like some vague recollection of it, you know?
And then you can just use some of these testing buzzwords, just chuck them into conversations, you know, make yourself seem smart. Let's get started by first chatting about what functional testing is. Functional testing is to do with verifying each bit of functionality of a piece of software. You have a set of requirements and you go through and verify that the functionality in the application that's been built meets those requirements. Basically, you care about the behavior of the application and whether it's doing what it's meant to do.
Today, we're going to quickly cover 8 kinds of functional testing. There are a couple more out there, but these are the ones that we thought, you know, would be the most useful to kind of get an intro and get a feel for. And when you're carrying out testing, you might only do 1 or 2 of these at a time. But hopefully over the course of creating a large piece of software, someone does each of these types at least once.
So let's jump into some of the different kinds of functional testing, starting with unit testing. So unit testing is where you check individual software components and test that they do the thing that they're meant to do. Usually, this is done in the code, where you write a unit test focusing on a small component or piece of functionality, and you test it in isolation. This might be testing an individual class, or even testing individual functions. You want to test that the unit follows the happy path, so it works as expected. And you also want to test that it handles any errors that you might expect nicely, without crashing or anything like that.
The second kind of functional testing that we want to talk about is integration testing. This is all about how different pieces of your software work together and making sure that they interact the way you expect. So let's say you have an app that you're building that gives your user their daily horoscope. Very important functionality. You don't want this to go wrong because, you know, daily horoscopes, very important. And in your app, you hit an API to generate those horoscopes. You'd want to carry out integration testing to make sure that both the app and the API interact as you expect them, and you don't get any unwanted behavior like, you know, horoscopes not coming back properly or coming back all mishmash or missing important things. We want to make sure it all plays nicely together.
That would be truly tragic. I would hate, as a Scorpio, to get a horoscope for something like a Leo. I mean, that would just be the worst case scenario.
I have no words. That's so offensive to me. For our listeners that don't know, I'm a proud Leo. Like, as in when people tell me that I seem like Leo, I say thank you because I genuinely view that as a compliment. So I've taken great offense to that, Lola.
Well, in order for Auti not to be offended, obviously this just shows how important testing is, especially integration testing if you're making a horoscope app, because you do not want to get your wires crossed and make a Leo angry. Moving on from integration testing, the third kind of functional testing that we wanted to chat about today is system testing. This is basically just checking that the application as a whole works the way that you'd expect once all the different parts are built and finished. You've probably been testing the functionality as you went along and built each piece of the software, but it is important to check the whole thing over at the end.
You'd be surprised at how many times, like, we've been building something and then we do a big, like, system test at the end and you realize that, like, something you did later on actually broke something that happened, like, way at the beginning. And because everyone was so confident that thing at the beginning worked, they didn't bother retesting it.
That's the tricky thing is, like, if you're just testing in isolation, then everything might seem fine. But as soon as you start things like system testing and you see how the whole flow works and everything interacts together, you might find some new issues you need to work out.
So that is why system testing is super valuable. And next up, we have sanity testing. And this is where you want to test that your application is behaving in a logical way. Like if you press a button to close a pop-up on your screen, you don't want to randomly open a different one instead. And these things might not be explicit requirements. You wouldn't expect it to say, like, a requirement of your application, as it doesn't do weird stuff. But they're things that are kind of silly to let through and things you should probably check.
Yeah, I also love the fact that it's called sanity testing. Like, what a great name. The fifth type of functional testing that we wanted to cover is smoke testing. This is where you test the most simple and basic core functionalities. This is usually a great place to have automation test coverage, because that way you know that whenever you're releasing code out into the wild, you've had your automated tests check that basic core functionality. For example, like logging in.
The next thing we wanted to chat about is interface testing. And this is where you test that the interface of the software acts the way you'd expect. For those of you who aren't familiar with the term interface, this is just like a checklist for a class in your code. It defines certain things that a class can do, but it doesn't exactly say how they do it. And if you want to hear more about them, definitely check out episode 37, where we talk about the solid principles and we explain interfaces in a lot more depth. But for the purposes of interface testing, all you're doing is checking that when you interact with a class that implements a certain interface, you get back from that class what you'd expect. So if it has like a method that's like add numbers, then when you pass numbers to that method, then it works as expected and it adds those numbers.
The second to last type of functional testing that we wanted to cover today is regression testing. This is probably one of the most important testing phases, and it's where you carry out old test cases after new functionality has been implemented to make sure that you haven't broken anything that was there previously. Like, you wouldn't want to add a super cool compatibility calculator to your snazzy horoscope app from before and break the functionality that actually generates your daily horoscope. I mean, that would be awful.
That would be a big tragedy.
But a compatibility calculator does sound like a pretty cool feature to add.
It's definitely essential. When we were in school, we used to, we found a compatibility calculator online and we used to literally like put in like our ones and then our crushes and all of that stuff. And we'd have like a little notebook where we'd write down and like record who was the most compatible and stuff. And so this needs to have this compatibility character, because I guarantee there would be people that use it.
Oh my God, what a throwback. We also did that in primary school.
Back to functional testing. We are up to the final type of functional testing that we're going to chat about today. And that is beta testing, or user acceptance testing, which is sometimes called UAT. This is where you get some of the intended users as well as stakeholders to come in, try out the product, and report any bugs that they find.
And this is really an important step because sometimes what you've built might not actually solve the problem that you're trying to solve. And UAT is a great way to get some good feedback to validate whether you're actually meeting the requirements that you have.
So those were some examples of the different kinds of functional testing that you have. Now let's move on to non-functional testing. In non-functional testing, you don't focus on the behavior of the application and how it meets requirements. Instead, you focus on the reliability, usability, and performance of your application.
This is important because while your code may be functioning as expected and meeting the right outcomes, if it's slow or unreliable, it's not going to be fun for users to use. And functional testing doesn't take these aspects into account. An example of non-functional testing might include checking how many simultaneous users can use your software without breaking it. Basically, it's testing all the stuff that isn't directly related to the functionality of the actual software.
If you're still confused about functional versus non-functional testing, to make it a bit clearer, we're going to chat through a few different types of non-functional testing. Like with functional testing, you might only do one or two of these at a time, but again, you'd hope that over the course of creating your application, someone does at least each of these types of testing.
This first type of non-functional testing that we're going to talk about today is performance testing. And this is all about testing the speed or performance of your software under a certain workload. Like, if you expect your app to get 1,000 users at the same time and being able to handle all of that, good performance might be a load time of less than 5 seconds, and then this is your test for performance.
Moving on to another type of non-functional testing, let's chat about load testing. Load testing is a bit like performance testing, but it tests your software under a big workload. It's all about handling increasing numbers of users using your software at the same time and making sure that this doesn't cause the performance to decrease or worse, for it to break functionality.
Next up, we have stress testing. Stress testing helps us to figure out the breaking point of the system by revealing the maximum point after which it breaks. Basically, you're just pushing the system to its limits to find out what causes it to finally fall over and flop. And this tells us how robust our software is.
This reminds me of how the universe sometimes likes to stress test humans. Like, you know, when you're already having a hard time and then suddenly it's just like bad news on top of bad news. Well, that's basically what stress testing is doing. You're pushing the system to its limits and finding out when they break.
Yeah, I do feel like the advice I'm hearing here is that when the universe gives me a lot of bad stuff to deal with, to just break immediately because then it'll stop stress testing me. Is that the advice you're giving, Lola?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, yeah. No, we believe in resilience here at Hot Girls Code. Moving on from stress testing, another super important type of non-functional testing is security testing. This is where you check that your system has mechanisms to protect itself from sudden or even deliberate cyber attacks. Like, if you suddenly have someone sending a million bots to your website to totally overload your system, do you have something that kicks in to block it? Or if someone tries to manipulate the URL of your website to expose secret stuff inside your code, have you made sure that it doesn't actually take them anywhere private? So that is security testing.
And we are now on to the final type of testing that we want to chat about today, and that is usability testing. So this is when we focus on how easy it is for an end user to actually use what you've built. This is really important because sometimes you might have built the most amazing thing ever, but users might not know how to actually use the thing that you've built. And when this happens, you might need to tweak your implementation to make it a bit more easier to use and understand, or maybe guide users a bit more while they try to figure out how to use it.
So those are some different kinds of non-functional testing. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. Today, we talked all about testing. We went through a lot of different kinds of testing, like manual testing, automation testing, lots of different kinds of functional and non-functional testing.
It might have been a lot to take in, but don't worry. Like we said a few times before, you are not expected to know all of these different types of testing off by heart, and not all of these are used all of the time. We just wanted to give you that brief overview of some of the types of testing you might hear about or come across when you're working in tech.
In our next episode, we are going to stick with testing and delve into the role of a test analyst as part of our Exploring Tech Job series. So if you want to hear more about how testers work within a software team and what the job is actually like, definitely tune in next fortnight.
If you enjoyed this episode, we would really appreciate it if you could share it with your friends or on social media to help us spread the word and get Hot Girls Code to more wonderful women.
We'd also love it if you could leave a rating and subscribe to Hot Girls Code wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you need some more Hot Girls Code in your life, you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok under @hot_girls_code to keep up to date with the podcast and learn more about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech.
Thanks for listening.